morning, church. I invite you guys all to stand up and sing this song, and it's a song that we all know, so just think about the words as we go through it. My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days, I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shadow.
Turn it on. There we go. Sorry, this is the first time I've ever done this. Anyway, we're so glad to see each one of you here this morning on this beautiful Sunday morning. If you're visiting, if you're watching with us online and joining us for worship, we're so glad that you're here. Welcome, and we ask that you just participate as we are going to sing songs of worship this morning. We're going to pray, we're going to get into God's Word, and we're going to have a good time this morning. Amen? Well, want to just remind you, this is the last Sunday of the month, and on the last Sunday of the month, we look at different missionaries that we support and that we pray for. And so this morning, if you want to open your worship bulletin, you'll see information about Jeff and Carrie Gage. They are missionaries with Greater Europe Mission. Jeff also works with Electric Discipleship Outreach and Training. And so we're going to be praying for them over this next 4 weeks. And they're actually on their way home and getting prepared to come home and have a furlough here in the States. And so be praying for them, their transition as they pack, as they talk to and say goodbye to all of their friends and different things and for their children. So encourage you to pray. You'll see the things listed there. And in fact, why don't we go ahead and pray right now for Jeff and Carrie this morning here. Father, we thank you that you are a global God, and we thank you that you have people that love you, that are working for you in different countries. And we lift up Jeff and Carrie Gage as they are beginning to pack their stuff, beginning to say goodbye to their German friends and missionary colleagues. And so we pray that all of these transitions of packing their belongings, of saying their goodbyes would go well. We also pray that you would provide them a place to live in Southern California coming this September through the end of December. And so, Father, we ask that you'd go before them, make their path straight, and that you would open doors and maybe even contests that they aren't even aware right now. But we're trusting you that you would meet this need for them, a home for them for the next rest of this year. We also pray that as they pack up their apartment, get organized and clean, that the overwhelming task would not be overwhelming, but that your peace would encompass them, that they would take it one step at a time, and that they would have lots of help so that it can go smoothly. Father, for their travels back, we pray for safe travels, and as they get oriented back here in the States, Father, bless them, and in whatever their endeavors hold for the rest of this year for them, we ask you would bless them, we ask you'd provide their needs, and you'd care for them, in Jesus' name, amen, as we continue our morning. Father, we thank you that you are a God who meets our needs, and so, Father, now we come to you in faith, we come to you as an act of worship, and we give you our tithes and our offerings. We ask that you would bless them. We ask that you would use them to further your kingdom here and abroad. And as we continue to worship you now, we focus our attention on you. We ask that you would speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Sing a new song.
Just amazing. Just fill our hearts. Just thank you for opening us up to hear the words of Pastor Tom. And just thank you for being here and just being present where two or more are gathered. In Jesus' name, amen.
God is good all the time. Well, Pastor Carrie and Wendy are heading on back either today or tomorrow. They'll be back next week. Worship with you. In the meantime, Pastor Carrie asked if I would bring the message this morning, and so I appreciate the opportunity. I've been humbled and looking forward to seeing what God is going to teach us this morning. I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Psalm 100. Psalm 100, a passage that many of us are familiar with. This is a song that King David wrote, and this morning we're going to look at it as a song. It describes two movements of worship. The first movement is the emotive and demonstrative side of worship. The second movement is the personal knowledge and cognitive understanding of worship. And so I invite you to see if you can identify these two movements as we stand together for the reading of God's Word. If you would please stand. Shout for joy, shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations. You may be seated. So, verse 1 and 2, if you take a look at those, they describe the first movement of the song. The emotive of worship is joy. We demonstrate our joy by shouting to the Lord, serving the Lord, and coming before him with singing. Verse 3 describes the second movement of the song. The personal knowledge and cognitive understanding of worship comes from knowing that the Lord is the one true God. He is the creator. He is the shepherd. Now, when we come to verse 4, we again go back to the first movement. The first movement is repeated. This time, the emotive is a grateful heart demonstrated by expressions of thanksgiving and praise and blessing his name. Verse 5 is a repeat of the second movement. We find out that God is good, God is loving, and God is faithful. Psalms 100 shows us the balance that we need in our worship. If we demonstratively express worship to God without a personal knowledge of who he is, it becomes emotionalism. On the other hand, if our knowledge of God is never joyfully and gratefully expressed, we run into the risk of becoming legalistic. Our worship of God must continually be built upon our understanding of who God is and what He's done for us as it is revealed in His Word. Our worship of God must continually be demonstrated by His commands to joyfully sing, joyfully shout, praise, and give thanks. Let's take a look, and let's begin by looking at verse 3 again. Know that the Lord Himself is God. The word Lord in all caps in our English Bible is a translation of the Hebrew name Yahweh or Jehovah. Yahweh refers to the specific covenant-keeping God who brought the people of Israel out of Egypt and was faithful to them through the centuries and promised them the Messiah. In other words, verse 3 says, Yahweh is the one true God. There are no true gods besides Him. He is absolute over all powers and authorities in the universe. He is the King, eternal, immortal, the only wise God. Isaiah 46, verses 5 and then verse 9 says, to Him, to whom would you liken me and make me equal and compare me, that we would be alike? Remember the former things long past, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is no one like me. And in Psalm 89, verses 5 to 8, we read, the heavens will praise your wonders, O Lord. Your faithfulness also in the assembly of the holy ones. For who in the skies is comparable to the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty is like the Lord? A God greatly feared in the council of the holy ones and awesome above all those who are around Him. O Lord God of hosts, who is like you, O mighty God? Your faithfulness also surrounds you. And of course, the obvious answer is that no one is like the one true God. And when David was writing this psalm, he was specifying that he was talking about Yahweh. Because during his time, as you remember, if you've read the book of 1 and 2 Samuel, there were lots of gods. Every nation had their own God. And yet, David was wanting to make sure that everybody understood this is Yahweh. This is the one and only true God that He is calling all of us to worship. Verse 3 continues, it is He who has made us and not we ourselves. Yahweh, the Creator, is the Creator, not us. He made us. We did not make ourselves. We are dependent on God for our very existence. The implication the psalmist draws out is not that we are vulnerable, but that we are cared for. Psalm 139, verses 13 to 14 says, for you formed me, you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. The last phrase of verse 3 says, we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. In other words, since He made us, we belong to Him. We are not our own, and the way He relates to us is as a shepherd relates to his sheep. He provides green pastures and still waters, protection and guidance through dangerous valleys. Psalm 23 is a beautiful picture of our Lord Jesus Christ as our shepherd. So let's look at it together. In fact, let's read it together if you'd like. The Lord, or Yahweh, is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I want to go back for a moment to the phrase, we are His people. Now that we live on this side of the cross of Jesus, we understand this fact even better. Not only did Yahweh create us, he bought us. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. We are a new creature in Christ Jesus. We have all been clothed in the righteousness of our Savior Jesus. Christ lives in us, our hope of glory. The Holy Spirit lives in us. He is our guide, our comforter, our counselor, and the fruit of the Spirit resides in us. We were bought with a price. It's very easy to go throughout our week and throughout our day, even sometimes when we come in here in this place, and we forget the precious sacrifice that our Savior gave to us. And it's important to remember that he offered himself in our place. And we need to remember to be awed and reminded each week of his great love for us. Now that we have come face to face with the one true God, it should be more understandable and easier to allow worship to come out of our inner being, most being, and obey God's command in verses 1 and 2. So let's go back to there. Shout joyfully to Yahweh, all the earth. Serve Yahweh with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Shout joyfully alludes to a celebration. The idea is similar to when a king enters his city in triumph. With this act of worship portrayed, we see this act of worship portrayed in the Gospels during Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. The disciples bring Jesus a colt, and we pick up the story in Luke chapter 19, verse 35. They brought it to Jesus, and they threw their coats on the colt and put Jesus on it. As he was going, they were spreading their coats on the ground. As soon as he was approaching near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the miracles that they had seen, shouting, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." But Jesus said, "I tell you, if these become silent, the stones will cry out." A similar event in today's society would be a parade for a celebrity or a sports team. There is cheering, shouting, and applause. Everyone is standing. Let me suggest to you that the one true God, the creator of the universe, your Savior, your Lord, your Shepherd, has watched over you this past 7 days. He has provided your every need. He has protected you from the harms that you may not even know about. His care for us is greater than any accomplished than a human could do. Every Sunday, when we come into his presence here in this place, we should shout joyfully and give the God of creation a thunderous standing ovation. Amen? Think about it. Let's do it. Yeah. Let's stand up and give him praise. Amen. So just take a moment and think about your week this last week. Some of us had a good week. Some of us maybe had bumps in the road. Some of us maybe had disappointments. Some of us, they were maybe filled with joy. Some of us, they were just a normal week. For me, my week was interesting, but I'm here. So praise God. But even if you can't think of one thing that God did for you, let me remind you that since the last time we met, you woke up 7 times. And if that's the only reason you're here to worship God, it's worth it. Because he gave you seven more days. Seven more days. And then next week, he's going to give you seven more. And the following week, he's going to give you seven more. But the point is that he is the one true God. And whether he did anything for us or not, he's worthy of our praise. And he's worthy of us coming in here into his presence. By the way, if you're wondering, Tom, how do you know that we're in God's presence? Well, he lives inside of you, right? Amen. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So you brought him here. And so did I. We all brought Jesus here, right? We just read the scripture, you're the temple of the Holy Spirit, so you brought him here. And also the Bible tells us that where two or three are gathered in his name, he's in the midst. So we have to remember that King David wrote this psalm, and he was envisioning going to an actual physical location called the temple. The Israelites didn't worship God. They worship God apart from that, but their main point of worship is they had to go somewhere. They had to go a location because that's the only place God was in the temple that he created and asked them to build so that he would have a home. It was to represent who he was. So when he was writing this psalm, he was envisioning coming before God singing. See, the temple had gates. The temple had an inner court. And so when he says that he entered into his gates with thanksgiving, that's what he was envisioning when he wrote this song. And then you entered into the inner courts with praise. And so I encourage you that when you come here each Sunday, or whenever you come here for whatever service that we have, that you would envision yourself actually coming into the presence of a holy God. Coming into the presence of the one true God, Yahweh, who loves you, who cares for you, and who is your God. He created you, and he's your shepherd. That wasn't in my notes. That was free. Thank you. So, the idea of shouting to God. Also, one other thing I want to say is, I don't know about you, but the last time I heard somebody shout, it was pretty loud. Right? And so, there is enthusiasm in our worship. That's what the word joyful is all about. And so I encourage you, it's okay if you want to shout in here. And if someone asks you, you can just send them to me. Anyway, all right, next, serve Yahweh with gladness. Now, if you remember 6 months ago, a lot has happened since 6 months ago, so I don't expect you to really remember, but I was in the pulpit again that time, and we talked about offering our everyday, ordinary activities to God as an act of worship. Remember that? We talked about, you know, worship is more than music. Worship is more than that. But the foundation of worship is taking our lives, taking the things that we do each day, and just basically saying, God, this is my offering to you today. So therefore, worship is 24/7. So the idea is all of us should have been worshiping every single day this week. And then we come in here on Sunday and we come and we take all the worship that we did during the week and we combine it together. And with one voice, we lift our voices in praise to God through song, through shouting, through serving. And so this is what David is talking about here, that we serve with gladness. Every single day should be filled with gladness, and that we should serve him with gladness. Now, you may not always feel glad. And I get it. We all have bad days where we don't feel that great. But we can still serve him with gladness. Romans 12:1 to remind you, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. The next phrase in verse 1 and 2 is, come before him with joyful singing. Now, there are 25 commands that at least I counted the other day that tell us to sing, that tell us to worship God through song. And by the way, what do many people do when they're happy? They sing. They sing. And so this makes God happy when we sing to him. And in fact, all of these are commands. These aren't suggestions. We need to be shouting. We need to be joyfully. We need to be serving joyfully. We need to be singing joyfully. And I do want to say and commend all of you that you do, when you come in here, you all sing. And it makes the worship team's job easy because you do. But, you know, it's very easy for us to come in here and just kind of go, oh, it's another day of church, and church becomes mundane. Church becomes rote. And so we need to protect ourselves from that and realize that every single Sunday when we come in here, every day that you're singing at home or worshiping God at home, you are serving a God who is alive. He is on his throne, and he's got you in the palm of his hand. And in fact, God doesn't ask us to do anything that he doesn't do. And I don't have the scripture, but I know it's in Zephaniah, where it talks about that our God, did you know that God sings over you? God sings over you a love song. He's there like a father sitting quietly beside you. And so he's singing over us as we sing to him. Psalm 95, verses 1 and 2. Oh, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with praises. Again, imperatives and commands. Psalm 98, verse 1. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done wonderful things. His right hand and his holy arm have gained the victory for him. One thing that let's look at that word joy. Because we're talking about that we're balancing the emotional demonstrative side of worship with our knowledge of God. And it takes both and, as I talked about later. You can't have one without the other, and we already shared what the pitfalls are if we do one without the other. But I want to look at that word joy. Because many people think that joy is dependent on their circumstances. And actually, joy is not an emotion. Joyful, being joyful is an emotion. Being happy is an emotion. But joy is not an emotion. Emotions are dependent on life situations and circumstances. So if life is good, what happens? We're all happy. And we're singing that song, happy, happy, right? And we're snapping along and skipping down the road. I don't skip, but you can. But anyway, so that happiness is dependent. So if life's going great, man, I'm feeling good, I'm happy. But the minute something goes and turns south, the minute a problem arises, the minute life becomes unpleasant and there's pressure, the happy feelings go away and can be replaced with many different things: sadness, anger, frustration, etc. So joy is not dependent on life circumstances, because joy is an attitude of the heart. True joy comes from God. And Jason, you don't have these scriptures, but in John 15, Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made complete." In Romans 15, 13, it says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, Nehemiah told the Israelites, "Go eat of the fat, drink of the sweet, and send portions to him who has nothing prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Whose joy? The Lord's joy, not our joy. So again, if we are trying to conjure up joy in our worship to God, we're off the beaten path. And so it's not about us conjuring up a feeling. Your feelings will catch up when you remind yourself of who God is and what he's done for you. When you remind yourself that he is the King eternal, the only wise God, immortal, invisible, your feelings will catch up with you when you remind yourself that he has paid that price for you and that he loves you dearly and that he will take care of you. He's that shepherd that provides things for us. And as we read in Psalm 23, he brings us by still waters. He brings us into a cool pasture. And in fact, he even helps us through the shadow of the valley of death. By the way, it's not the valley of the shadow of death. It's not the valley of death. It's the shadow of the valley of death. So if you're there, move. Leave. You don't have to stay there. It's just a shadow. Joy is the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, etc. The second fruit of the Spirit there is joy. That again, God has given us. So we don't have to conjure up joy. We may feel joyful occasionally. We may feel sad. But we can come in here, regardless of our circumstances, regardless of how we feel, and we can worship God with joy because we know that he's our God and he's taking care of us and he wants that relationship with us more than we may even want it. Let's look at verse 4 of our text here. "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name." Again, here's our emotive is that thankful. Being thankful is the emotion. We demonstrate it by actually giving thanks. There it says, give thanks to him. And then it also talks about bless his name, which is just to put honor on his name and to speak well of him. Psalm 103 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name." There again, David wrote that psalm and he realized that he had to talk to himself because sometimes he didn't feel like blessing the Lord. And what did he say? From the depths of our being, from the depths of his being, bless the Lord. Why? In the next verse it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not one of his benefits. He has forgiven all of my iniquities. He has healed me of all my diseases. He has crowned my life with loving kindness and tender mercies. He has renewed my strength like the eagles." Those are benefits that God gives you every single day that he's already given you. Right there, I just gave you 4 reasons to worship God. So you always had no excuse. You can bless the Lord and bless his name, and that's what that's talking about. Now again, we get to verse 5, and it tells us why we should do all of that. Why should we be thankful? Why should we be grateful people and say thank you to God? Because Yahweh is good. And the idea of that goodness is God is so pure. It's like the best diamond you could ever find, that they try to find ones without flaws. God is without flaw. And he is so beautiful that we can't even comprehend that. Looking forward to when I get to be face to face with him and see his beauty. I wish I could put it into words for you, but he is so beautiful. He is so good. And sometimes we miss that fact because why? Well, if God's so good, why does bad stuff happen? Well, it's very simple. There's still sin in the world. You and I can still be selfish. And there's an enemy of our soul, Satan, who will do everything that he can to disrupt God's handiwork. Why? Because he wants your worship instead of it going to God. Why? He wanted to be like God. That's what he still wants that today. He still wants to be a God. He just doesn't remember that he's already defeated. His loving kindness is everlasting. That word loving kindness means loyal. Loyal, loyalty. Yahweh God is loyal to you and me. What does that mean? Hebrews chapter 13, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And if you read that in the Amplified Bible, it just keeps going on. It says, I will not, I will not. I will never leave you. I will never leave you. I will never leave you. That's the whole point. And that's hard for us to understand because why? We've all been disappointed by people, right? Where somebody said, hey, I'll be there with you. And then where were they? That's happened to all of us to a certain degree or other. But God is so loyal that he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Now, many times I would stop right there in Hebrews chapter 13. But you have to go on to the next verse. Because the next verse says, therefore, because God will never leave me nor forsake me, I will boldly and confidently say that the Lord is my helper. What can man do to me? That's the God who sits next to you in this room. That's the God who's going to get in the car with you when you leave this morning. That's the type of God that we can trust. He is loyal. He will never give up on us, even when we give up on him. And his faithfulness. Oh, he's so faithful. And his faithfulness isn't just for you. Look at what it says. His faithfulness goes to all generations. So therefore, your parents, God was faithful to. God is faithful to you. God is faithful to your kids. God is faithful to their kids. God is faithful to their kids. God is faithful to their kids. I've got 6 more minutes. I could keep on doing that and then I'd fill my time. Jesus. But do you get it? He's faithful. What does that mean? Whatever he says, he will do. And you can take it to the bank. He will do it. He will do it. Now, circumstances for a while may not seem like that he's doing anything. And we've all been there. God, where are you? Why have you forsaken me? He hasn't. He hasn't. He's there. And again, just like we live by faith, not by how we feel. And so regardless how you feel, feelings have nothing to do with it. We trust him no matter what. And in fact, if you want to be encouraged, you can go read the stories of some of the old patriarchs and look at how long they had to wait. And in fact, many of them never even saw the promise that God said. Think of Abraham. I'll make you the father of many nations. He saw one kid. Right? Isaac. That's all he saw. And yet, he's in the hall of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. Because he considered not his own body. He considered not the body of his wife. When God said, you'll have a kid. And oh yeah, I know you're 99. But you're going to have a kid. And what did God do? He was faithful. He was faithful. He was faithful. So we come into this place each week. Remember, David envisioned himself coming into the temple as he wrote this. So I encourage you, worship team, you guys can come on up. I encourage you that when you walk through these doors, and even maybe on Saturday night or maybe Sunday morning as you're getting out of your car, mentally prepare yourself. I'm going into the presence of a holy God. I'm going into the presence of Yahweh, the one true God who loves me beyond understanding, who gave his life for me so that I could be involved in this relationship with him, and so that I could worship him and adore him and give him all the honor and the glory forever and ever. Real quickly, go back to verse 1 and see what it says. Shout joyfully to the Lord. Who? Just God's people? All the earth. This is for all the earth. That's an invitation that David is saying, all the earth, come and worship this incredible God. Shout to him, serve him, praise him with joy. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Know that he is God. Get into relationship with him because he's good. He's faithful. He's loyal. And so this is an invitation, and maybe next time I preach, we can talk about that, because God never intended for yours and my worship just to be for ourselves. He wants us to pass our worship on to other people. So I invite you to stand, and I invite you to sing with joy on this next song. I encourage you to shout joyfully. I encourage you to give thanks and to praise his name as we worship and sing to our God.
Make his praise glory.
Father, as we stand in your presence, thank you. Thank you for paying the price for us. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for being loyal. Thank you for being faithful. And we thank you that you are our shepherd and that you lead us, you guide us. Sometimes we just follow, other times you take us by the hand, and even other times you pick us up and you carry us. And you never let us go. May we never, ever cease to be in awe and wonder. May we never come into this place without remembering who you are and what you've done for us. And may we be bold to lift up our voice and shout, to lift up our voice and sing, to give you thanks, to give you praise, and to bless your holy, holy name. May we never lose that freshness that we had when we first met you. Forgive us. Forgive me for my lack of faith, for my lack of trust. Now to you be all glory and honor. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Praise Jesus. Have a blessed week.
Thanks for joining us in the study of God's Word with Pastor Kerry Wacker. We'd love to have you join us in person for worship each Sunday morning at 9 a.m. or 10:45 a.m. We also meet Wednesday nights at 6:30 p.m. Warren Community Fellowship is located at 56523 Columbia River Highway in Warren, Oregon, between Scappoose and St. Helens. For more information about Warren Community Fellowship or about WCF Ministries, call us at 503-397-4387. And don't forget to like us on Facebook.